chapter 13, verse number 4. This day came ye out in the month Abib. Because they came out of Egypt, he said, hey, this is going to be the first day of the month for you. This is going to be the first month of the year for you. This is the start of your annual calendar. He established that for them. And, you know, I think it's funny that for as antagonistic as the world is against God, and as much as they would want to say that God does not exist, our calendar is based on Jesus Christ. You know, they may want to change what it means in the year of our Lord, A.D., or, you know, B.C., before Christ. They may want to change what those terms stand for and give them alternate names, but it was established because of the birth of Christ. And the year that we live and these things were established because of God and what God is doing in the world. And as we begin our calendar this year, as we start out, hopefully there's some things that you will start out correctly with. And one of those here, as we saw in the book of Exodus, is that the tabernacle was constructed. The tabernacle was constructed. The tabernacle is where God's people worshiped him. When they came out of Egypt, they needed a place to worship God. They needed a place to gather together. God has always wanted his people to come together for worship. Nowhere do you see God saying, listen, don't come together. You go do what you want to do. You go do your own thing. All through the scriptures, God's people are called together to worship. They encourage one another. They exhort one another. They challenge one another. Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. So this is an admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, that he wants us to come together. And here in the beginning of the year, the tabernacle was set up. This place of worship was set up for them. The beginning of the year is a good time for you and I to resolve to be at the tabernacle, the place of worship. Resolve to, hey, this is the first Sunday and you're here. When I was in school, the last 3 years I was in school, there is nobody in our church that dislikes school any more than the pastor. Every single day of my life that I got up and had to go to school, even when I was a principal, I would get up and I would say, man, I don't want to go to school today. But you know, the last 3 years of my high school career, I never missed a day. I got perfect attendance. I didn't want to be there as much as anybody. But I purposed in my heart that I was going to be there because although I wasn't that good of a student, maybe I wasn't going to get the best grades, I knew I could get perfect attendance. I could at least show up. I could be there. And it's a good thing, I think, as Christians, we could say, you know what, I'm not the greatest Christian, or I'm not the biggest, you know, or I'm not the most strongest believer in the church, or I'm not the best at this or that, but you know what, you can be here. You can say, I'm going to purpose in my heart that I'm not going to miss a Sunday this year. I'm going to be in every service at Hunt Valley Baptist Church this year. I'm going to participate and be a part of it. And you're here on the first Sunday and you can set it as a goal for the year. I'm going to set the tabernacle up in my life and purpose to be there for God this coming year. You can be there. And you know, you never know. I can tell you what, time and again, people have come to me and say, Pastor, I did not want to come today, but you know, this is exactly what I needed. You know that's the devil. When the devil's coming to you this year and saying, man, you're so tired, you don't feel like it, you have this excuse and you have that excuse, why don't you just stay home today? You ought to say, get thee behind me, Satan, because you know Satan is the one trying to keep you from getting what you need that day. And I'll tell you what, if you let yourself be swayed like that, the devil knows he can keep you from being in God's house. And the very Sunday, it may not even be a message from the Word of God. It might be a brother or sister in Christ that comes to you and says something to you or encourages you in some way that gives you what you need spiritually to be fed and strengthened. It might be a message from the Word of God, but the devil would have you miss that. And don't let the devil do that to you. Just purpose in your heart. Say, you know what, I can be there. That's something that I can do. And I'm going to make church an important part of my life this year. I'm going to set up the tabernacle. Set it up. It's going to be a part of my life throughout this year. I'll tell you what, the Sabbath day was a holy day. Exodus 35:2 tells those that didn't observe the Sabbath were put to death. And they had a day of rest, a day of worship that they were supposed to come. Hebrews 10:25, we know it says, forsaking not the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We need to be in God's house when God's house is open. You know, God had a way in which he wanted the worship to be done. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 40. We were back to chapter number 40 where they're setting up the tabernacle. And in verse number 3, we see here, we're not going to read all these verses, but you can read down from 3 to 17, instructions. And thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil, and thou shalt bring in the table and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlesticks and the light and the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of the golden incense before the ark of the testimonies and put hanging of the door to the tabernacle. We could read on. He gave very clear instructions. Even to the where a piece of furniture was supposed to be placed. This mindset that is prevalent in Christianity today, that it doesn't matter how you worship, is foolishness. It doesn't matter what you do. You can do whatever you want. We can come together and we can have a rock party and call it church and it's okay. God is not pleased with that. You can't just do whatever you want to do. God has a way in which he wants us to come unto him and to worship him. And we better seek and desire to line up with the Bible and to line up with what God wants, not just come together and say, God, you got to be happy with what I'm giving you. Amen? Amen. God has a way in which he wanted the tabernacle set up. And that hasn't changed. The place of worship, his church, is supposed to be set up a particular way. Our gathering for worship is supposed to have included in it several things. And we look through the scriptures and we see what things happened at church. I think that's one of the reasons that we eat so much at church. Because in the New Testament, they gathered together and they ate. They ate. They had times of food and they fellowship together. Encouraged one another. They also had a reading of the word. We see that continually. Reading of the word. Preaching of the word of God. They lifted their voice aloud. They cried with a loud voice. The preacher stomped his feet. He clapped his hands to get the attention of the people. To preach the word. Proclaim the word of God. There's things in the scriptures that give us clear direction as far as what worship is supposed to be. And we need to line up with that. Setting up the tabernacle. You could turn to, well, let's just do it. Turn to Numbers, chapter number 1. Let's get through Leviticus there and get to Numbers, chapter number 1. This is a very important point that rubs the cat the wrong direction. What the old preacher said, if you're rubbing the fur the wrong way, turn the cat around. So in Numbers chapter 1, look at verse number 53 and 54 of Numbers chapter number 1. But the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep the charge. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. They encamped around the tabernacle. You can read the balance of the beginning of this passage. They had particular places around the tabernacle where they were supposed to encamp. We just read there about where the Levites were supposed to be encamped. What I'm saying is that the tabernacle was a central part of their life. They encamped around the tabernacle. They set their life up around the tabernacle. Do you know their calendar was set by God? Not only that, the feast that they observed throughout the year at different times on particular days for a particular amount of time was set by God. Their calendar, what they were going to be doing, was established by God. What I'm saying is that the church should be a central part of our life. This is why we give you a calendar, a church calendar, at the beginning of the year. Now, that is not so you can just look at and say, oh, that's neat, thank you, and never look at it again. The idea is that you could know what's coming up on the church calendar and don't plan your vacation when something's going on at church. If I say something real general like, hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to love God most. We need to put God first in our life. If I say something real general like that, everybody says amen. Amen, we need to put God first. If I put it down where the rubber meets the road and say that means you don't go on vacation when it's anniversary Sunday at Hunt Valley Baptist Church, pastor, now you're meddling with my life. Now you're getting into where you're telling me what I should be doing. That's Christianity. It ought to affect our lives. There's two ways to look at that. You can completely disregard what's going on in church and just do whatever you want to do, which is the way most people do it. They say, well, I'm going to schedule what I want. I'm going to do what I like. I have my calendar. And if it works out, then I'll participate at what's going on at church. But that is not seeking God first, is it? That's doing what you want to do and then letting God fit in the nooks and crannies around that. Now, I know I'm getting real practical, but I think it's a biblical principle that's pretty clear. They encamped around the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a central part of their life. Their calendar was set by God. They were to observe certain feasts on certain days for a certain amount of time. We set forth a calendar at the church and say, here's what we're going to be doing this year, so that you could look at it and say, hey, now I've had a number of church members come to me and say, man, pastor, I really appreciate your calendar, because then I can know when I should go on vacation and I can line up and make sure that I don't miss anything at church. That's the spirit a believer should have. Instead of coming to me and saying, oh, pastor, man, I'm not going to be able to be here for anniversary Sunday. You know, we were going to go away and we're going to go do this. Now listen, you come to me and tell me that, I'm not going to say anything to you, but I'm telling you right now, I don't think God's pleased with that. I think we set our life up around the church, God's church. It's not Pastor Caleb's church. It's your church. We build our life around God and what God wants us to do. We put him first, and God is pleased with that. And we have the opportunity on the outset of the year to say, oh, this is what we're going to do. We're going to set up the tabernacle as a priority in our life. Amen? Amen? So I want you to see, secondly, something else that happened on the first part of the year. Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 29. You've got to get through Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 29. And I'll be there. You guys are lucky because I turn slow, so it gives you extra time. 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, and let's look first of all at verse number 3. I'm going to read through verse number 7. And I want you to see here what happened on the first day of the year here. And in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. And he brought in the priest and the Levites, and he gathered them together unto the east. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Hezekiah here is dealing with the temple. The temple. The temple was cleansed. After having been shut up and neglected for a very long time, the temple was cleansed. Look down in verse number 15. We're not going to read all of this, but verse number 15, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Look down in verse number 35. Verse number 35. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. So the temple was cleansed. After years of neglect, after a long time of being forgotten, he says, hey, the doors were shut up. The lamps weren't lit. No incense was burned. This place was used for vile and wicked things. Listen, guys, you come in and let's clean this temple out. Let's clean the temple out. You guys know where I'm going? What? Know ye not that your body is what?
Temple.
The temple was cleansed. I think it would be fitting for us as believers to maybe on the onset of the year, the beginning of the year, to cleanse the temple. Amen? Well, I'm excited about it anyway. We got to cleanse the temple, the place of worship. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. The New Testament believers is the body we have where the temple of the Holy Ghost dwells. And I'm going to ask you, has it been neglected? Has the doors been shut up? Has the lamp not been lit? Has the light not been shining? Has there been no, the incense hasn't been lit? The worship to God, the prayers to God hasn't been going on very much recently? We've allowed some things of the world to creep in and get the temple a little bit dirty. I think it'd be fitting as Hezekiah called together and says, hey, let's get this dirty stuff out of the temple. Let's open up the doors. Let's light the lamps. Let's offer some incense, some worship to God on the first of the year. Let's put this back in where it should be, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Start the year with a clean temple. If you're living your life and some of these things have creeped in and some of this stuff has been let go, you have the opportunity to cleanse the temple, to start the year fresh. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Cleanse the temple. You know that it's from a clean heart that our service is honoring to God. You know that passage of Scripture, thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. What he's saying is God does not desire our service for the sake of service, but God desires a broken and a contrite spirit. God desires a holy vessel, a clean vessel. Yes, we are supposed to serve God, but don't think that because I show up to church or because I put money in the plate or because I say amen, that it absolves me of the filth that I've let into my life, right? No, it doesn't. God wants clean vessels. We've got to cleanse the temple. And you know what? Service for God comes out of a pure heart. That's just going to happen. But sometimes what happens for us as believers, and listen, I'm as guilty as anybody here. I just happen to be the one talking, but we get in our motions and we know what we're supposed to do and we're supposed to be in church and we're supposed to carry our Bible and we're supposed to say amen and we're supposed to do this and I'm supposed to help at work party and I'm supposed to do this and we get in our routine and it gets to the place where we are doing that service even though our temple is filthy. Even though our heart is not right with God, even though we haven't talked to or prayed to God or spent time with him in a long time, but we're still doing what we're supposed to be doing. But it's been a long time since we were being what we're supposed to be. And for believers, the being is so much more important. The doing is a result of being right. And we will do. But we're not. It's not just doing that God desires. We've got to have a clean temple. We've got to clean up. It's from a clean heart that our honor, our service is honoring to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 16, in chapter 7, verse number 1, these verses are found. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Our body is a temple of the living God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We got to clean up what God would have us clean up. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. We've got to clean the temple. Praise God, the temple was cleansed. Let's look at something else that was done on the first day of the year. Turn to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra, chapter number 7. Ezra, chapter number 7. And verse number 6. Ezra, chapter number 7 and verse number 6. Committed to. The trip was committed. Ezra, after having been in captivity for a long time, purposed in his heart that he was going to go back to the promised land. Ezra chapter 7, verse number 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 10. Then Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request, according to the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nathans unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which is in the seventh year of the king, for upon the first day of the first month began he to go from Babylon. On the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel the statutes and judgments. So Ezra purposed in his heart to do what God wanted him to do, and he decided that he needed to go back to the promised land. Now, in New Testament and in the Bible, we know that the promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. The promised land is a picture of what God would have us as believers to be, and that, of course, is free from bondage, out of the bondage of sin, out of the bondage of the world and the flesh and the devil, serving him, as the Bible says, as an abundant Christian life, enjoying the abundant Christian life. This is what God wants for all believers, and no believer should be content to live in bondage. Do you know when Ezra went back and when Zerubbabel went back and when Nehemiah went back, large groups of people went with them. But there was a large number of people that stayed in bondage. That lets us know that not everybody desires freedom. Not everybody desires to be out of bondage. But Christians ought to, in their heart and in their mind, desire to be free from the bondage that Satan would want to put us under. We should want to live and enjoy the abundant Christian life that God has for us. So on the first day of the first month of the year, I think it'd be fitting for us to purpose to commit to a journey out of bondage, out of the world, the flesh, and the devil, to enjoying the abundant life that God has for us. We ought to look for that. What is it that's been holding you captive? Sometimes there's something in particular. There's people, they say, man, I could do the Christian life. I could do this. I can be this way. I could serve. I could whatever. There's things, but they say, but this one thing, I just can't give it up. I've had people tell me it's alcohol. They've told me, Pastor, I want to be a Christian. I want to serve God. I can't give it up. I've had people tell me it was smoking. I've had people tell me it was country music. Say, Pastor, I like it. And I ain't going to give it up. I'm going to just listen. Some of you are like, what's wrong with country music, Pastor? Well, we're not getting into that this morning, but I can tell you right now, it doesn't encourage you to love your wife and to follow God. Encourages you to be involved with all the friends that you have in low places and all the other stuff. Yeah, you're like, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I'm in the world. Yeah, that's right. Well, we ought to desire to live the abundant Christian life. That's what God wants for us. And I'll tell you what, that's where joy is. That's where satisfaction is. That's where thrill of this Christian life that God has for us. That's where that is. And that's what we ought to desire. We ought to forsake this. The Apostle Paul said, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things lost, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What in this world is more valuable than knowing the Lord, than following God, than having that abundant life? The Apostle Paul said, I'm willing to let it all go. None of it matters a hill of beans. I just want to please God. I just want God to know that I desire to love him and serve him and put him first, to have that abundant life. Ezra challenged the people to do the same thing in Ezra chapter 10. And Ezra, verse number 10 and 12, he says, and Ezra the priest stood up and he said unto them, ye have transgressed and ye have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and to do his pleasure and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, we must do. Or so must we do, he says. We must do it. He challenged the people to live pleasing to God. And the beginning of the year, I think it's a fitting challenge for us as well to commit to that, to pursuing after the abundant Christian life that God wants us to live. You know, a lot of what we could enjoy in life is withheld because of our iniquities. The Bible says in Jeremiah 5:25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Many of the blessings that God would want to give us, that we could experience in the fullness of God's blessing in our lives, have been withheld because of the iniquities that we've allowed to remain. Let me give you the last one, and we're going to be done. We're out of time. The truth was communicated. The truth was communicated. In Ezekiel chapter number 29, verses 17 through 20, he says, and it came to pass in the 7th and 20th year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and it went on and told him what he was supposed to do, but the word of the Lord came unto him. On the first day of the first month, the beginning of the year, the word of the Lord came unto him. Now, do you know that you and I are given and communicated, the word of the Lord comes unto us right here in this book. This is where we get the word of the Lord. And if you want the word of the Lord to speak to you this year, you're going to have to get into the book. You're going to have to purpose. Say, I'm going to get into the book this year. And that's why we've produced a devotional. That's why we as a church try and encourage one another, challenge each other. And listen, some people are telling me, well, I'm doing this. I'm doing the devotional. I'm also reading the daily bread. I'm also involved in this and I'm doing this. Hey, praise the Lord. I'm excited for all that you are doing, but everybody can do something. Everybody can be in the Word in some way. And as we purpose in our heart to live in the abundant life, it's going to take hearing a word from the Lord. If we have any hope of hearing from God this year, we're going to have to get in the book. Get in the book. There's verse after verse after verse about reading the Word of God and how He speaks to our hearts through the book. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. God's word seek out of the Word of God. Jeremiah 36:6, therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people. Reading the Word of God in the ears. John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The Bereans in Acts 17, searching the Scriptures. We know that the Scriptures are written for our learning. If we're going to hear from God, we've got to get in the book. And I think it'd be fitting challenge for us at the first day of the year, the first Sunday of the year here, to set forth some of these things in our lives. The truth is communicated. The commit to pursuing the abundant life, cleanse the temple, and set up the tabernacle as a central part of our life for this coming year. I hope that you found these things as challenging as I did. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for today, and we pray, God, that you would be with us as we go into the morning service. God, please speak to our hearts. Lord, please use your word in our lives. I pray, God, that you would challenge us. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to start fresh, the opportunity again to start anew. And as we embark upon a new year, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be victorious Christians. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.